Seems like I've sung that maybe once, twice before, but I did recognize the tune. So thank you for... It's always good to be challenged, isn't it? Even in songs like this, sing something new. And saw a Facebook post this week that was talking about some of the words of some of the great hymns. And I'm glad that we still sing them. I like all kinds of music. I like a lot of music. And I like contemporary. I like some of the praise and worship. And I like some of the contemporary that's still being sung, like a lot of the contemporary that was in the 70s and 80s and some of the early 90s that I grew up on spiritually. And but I like all the varieties of music. So I like it that when we have some special events, we have Southern Gospel, we have some other music. So it's just good, and it's so much... That music is so powerful to bring us thoughts and memories and bring us doctrine even. And so I'm going to go hear some music this evening as a Father's Day gift. So pray for me as I travel back late tonight, probably from Williamsburg. After church today, I'm leaving, going to Williamsburg by myself. Tried to talk my son into going. He wouldn't go. Tried to talk my wife into going. She didn't want to go. Tried to talk my best friend into going, and his cancer just doesn't allow him to get out like that. So I'm just going to go enjoy the concert by myself in Williamsburg. So I'll be coming home late tonight, so I look forward to that. So it's blues. Anybody else in here like the blues? Chris like the blues? I should have called Chris to go with me. Sorry. B.B. King. Anybody ever heard of B.B. King? B.B. King said, you can't sing the blues unless you've had the blues. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes, speaking of somebody that's had the blues. I believe that Solomon was having some blues, wasn't he? He was experiencing some of the blues. And so it comes from the difficult times of his life that he's writing this letter, writing this instruction. And so we're at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Getting near the end of that chapter, verses 18 to 29, what we'll be looking at today, and drawing some conclusions, drawing some instructions, and drawing some wisdom from the Word of God, some truth from the Word of God. I've entitled today's message, The Battle for Correct Wisdom. The Battle for Correct Wisdom. What is wisdom? How would you define wisdom? Wisdom can often be defined as the proper use of knowledge. You can have the knowledge of something, but if you don't use that properly, that's not very wise. You might have the knowledge that there's electricity in that panel downstairs, and you take the cover off and you stick your finger in there. Now, that went from knowledge to foolishness. Now, if you use an insulated tool, an insulated screwdriver, that would be wisdom. So wisdom can be defined as the proper use of knowledge. Being wise is very important in life. Being foolish is very detrimental in life. Solomon is known for being the wisest man that ever lived. The exception to that is Christ, because Christ is perfect. God in flesh, the God-man, Christ certainly was wiser than Solomon. And Solomon... He wasn't naturally born with all his wisdom, because his father was David, and his father had been wise. His mother was Bathsheba. Now, David and Bathsheba had lost their first child, but their second child was Solomon. But he wasn't just given this wisdom naturally. When he became king after his father, he prayed before the Lord and said, Lord, I want wisdom, that I might rule your people well. The job of being king over all of Israel is an important job. It's a hard job, and Lord, I can't do it without your knowledge and your wisdom and your help. And God said, Solomon, because you've prayed such a prayer, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'll give you great riches also. And Solomon, he did reign well for a number of years until he let his guard down. He chose to make some really bad decisions, and he did not repent of them. He did not turn from them. He continued them. He sought peace and comfort in the arms of women who did not serve the true and living God. He would also often bring in women from foreign nations, the daughters of some of the places around him that could be his adversaries, but he sought peace in the wrong way. He didn't want to be a man of war like his father was. And these women would often bring in their idolatry with them. This began his downward spiral that caused him to lose sight of the godly wisdom that was given to him. Nothing that God has given us can ever be a guarantee. We can't, as I've said many times, just put life on autopilot. The knowledge of the Word of God we have will be within us, but if we don't continue to exercise it and use it, that can be suppressed. And we don't ever want to do that. And that's what Solomon had done with his wisdom. A downward spiral he's in. And he began to seek wisdom through his own searching, his own understanding, and his own message. He had been given the divine wisdom of God, and he kind of suppressed that, laid it aside. He said, I still want to be wise. People already expect me to be wise. And he began to seek out things and examine these things and look at life from his own perspective. As we reviewed last week, many people try to seek wisdom that is contrary to the will of God. Chapter 7 gives us Solomon bouncing between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. Some of it he says is right on track, and then he goes back to his own thing. And so he's just in this conflicted state. James tells us, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Don't let that man ever expect anything from the Lord. We need to be straight on with God and not to be wavering from foolishness to righteousness to worldliness to godliness, but not to be wavering. The battle for correct wisdom. A.W. Tozer said that our minds are a battleground that many people treat as a playground. Our minds are a spiritual battleground, and we must never allow them to be just a physical playground. Stand, if you would, if we give reverence and honor to the Word of God as we began at verse number 18. Reading right on to the end of the chapter. It is good that I should take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Fearing God is so important. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For it is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take heed also unto the words that I have spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou as self likewise hast cursed others. Also, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. See him bouncing forth and back and forth from wisdom to his own ways. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. And I found more bitter than the death of woman, whose heart is a snare as a net and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions or many plans of their own. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of the Word of God. Thank you for the purity of the Word of God. Thank you for the absolute truth of the Word. Father, we could sink our hearts and minds into your Word with confidence, knowing that what you speak to us will be absolute truth. Lord, help us to be wise in discerning your Word, to accurately read it, to accurately interpret it. But Father, more importantly, to wisely live out your word, to be live and guided by your truth in an amazing way. And Father, we thank you for what you've given us, what you will give us through your word and through your spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible for correct wisdom. Let us remind ourselves that the same propensities, the same accidents, so to speak, the same misguided directions that Solomon went, we could also go. Solomon, being so wise, could be swept away by deception. Let us never let down our cards to think that we couldn't be. We live in a time where there's so much deception. When the Antichrist soon comes on the scene, I believe it's soon. It's got to be sooner than it's ever been, because we're further away from Jesus going back to heaven than we've ever been. So it's getting sooner. The Antichrist will be a kingdom of great deception. The people will follow after him. So we can all be deceived. The Bible compares us to sheep. Anybody ever know anything about sheep? They need a leader. They need someone to follow. I grew up on a farm. They had a few sheep. And they could be some of the most stubborn animals. And they could be some of the dumbest animals. And I remember there was a gap in the fence down off to the right of the chestnut trees where the sheep could go down there and get to the following pasture. But they would stand back and take themselves and run and ram into the fence and ram into the fence until they broke the woven wire fence. And all they had to do was walk down there about 50, 60 yards and go on around that. We as Christians can be like those kind of sheep, that we will butt our head against the wall to try to get our own way, our own direction, when God's saying, clearly go this way. And that's what's going on with Solomon. He's having a sheep moment in his life. We need the constant reminder of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to point us in the right direction, unless we would go the way of foolishness. Spiritual wisdom is the proper use of the principles found in the Bible. We can know facts about the Bible, but still not use them. So to know a fact is the starting point to learn the Word of God, but then to use them correctly is how we have spiritual wisdom. This is why our church centers itself on the preaching and the teaching and the application of Scripture. Let me say that again. As a pastor, this is what I'm called to do, and I'm so glad that you have allowed that and you encourage that and you stand with that, that this church, we may not be great in number. A lot of churches today will have more geared toward entertaining people, and the church is, oh, our church is full, and they will minimize the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And I'm going to stand before God and give an account. And what I do as a pastor, and you'll stand and give an account before God what you do as a congregation with the Word of God. So our church has to be centered on the preaching and the teaching and the application of the Word of God. That's our main point. The church is not to be an entertainment activities just to have a good time or center for social events. I've told you before that I get really concerned with a lot of churches, especially a lot of the bigger facilities. They have no longer calling this part of the building the sanctuary. I don't like that. That's just personal preference, and they're calling it, what are they calling it? Auditorium. No, it's a sanctuary. And you know what else is happening? They're not calling it the fellowship hall. They're calling it the social building. Or the social center. No, we fellowship because we're family, we're believers, and we have meals, not that we can fill our bellies. That's secondary in the church. We have a fellowship meal so we can get to know one another, so we can interact as a family, so you can talk to someone beside you, so you can get to know about their needs, you can get to know about their blessings, you can get to know about their struggles, and you can let them know that I care about you, I want to be a part of your life and help you and encourage you. That's fellowship. It's not social activity. Wisdom from God to know the difference and do the difference between these things. Based on what we learn from the Word of God, our church is to be a center for healing of our hearts from the Word of God, encouraging our hearts, convicting our hearts, and challenging our hearts that we would walk in wisdom. Wisdom that is needed that will bring about the correct wisdom. That's a little bit what we want to see in this passage. the battle for correct wisdom. Number one, wisdom brings strength. Why do we want wisdom? Why do we want God's wisdom, spiritual wisdom? Because wisdom brings strength. Not just strength to, so I have power. But strength to serve God. I see some church advertisements on these bigger churches and these big conferences of some of the great false teachers of our day. It was weird to this week. I had three different advertisements come across Facebook of great well-known false teachers. If I mentioned some names, you'd recognize some of them. And one of the first things is they come to our meetings and you might get power. Power? Power for what? For the sake of power? It didn't say power to serve God. It just says power. It's almost as some people are on a power trip that they want to go to these conferences. But the Bible says here that wisdom brings strength. What is that strength for? Strength to serve God. Strength to honor God. Strength to glorify God. Not to raise ourselves up. Look at verse number 19. And it says something interesting about that strength. Wisdom strengthens the wise. Wait a minute. Don't you find that interesting? Wisdom strengthened the wise. It doesn't say wisdom strengthened the foolishness. So wisdom strengthens somebody who's already wise. Already wise because they're already trying to go in the right direction and seeking it from the right one, God. Seeking it from the right place, God's word. So it's already wise. So when we're already wise in seeking God, we get more wisdom. It's what the Bible says, that we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, and we grow greater and greater in the knowledge of the Word of God. And so he says, wisdom strengthened the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Strength can be called vitality, energy. Strength is good in the body. Strength is good in the mind, in the spirit. Strength is good in the body, isn't it? Strength is good in our vehicle, isn't it? When we push that pedal on the right, we want it to go, don't we? Especially trying to leave out of this parking lot. Be careful, all right? We want it to respond, don't we? Strength is good in our plants that we have growing in the garden. Y'all keep praying. I'm going to bring you some vegetables one day. Pray for rain. I'm glad my well works well because I've used it lately. But you know what? So far, not so much, but I'm probably going to be going to war in the garden. Vine borers. I don't like them. You don't like them, do you? You go out one day and that squash is beautiful, a nice yellow squash on it. And you go the next day and it looks like it's got hit by a nuclear bomb. Looks like somebody poured gas on it. It's all dead. What happened? Old vine borer got in there. It's just no strength. His strength has been zapped. Because that vine borer got up in the bottom there and ate its way in and began to grow up through the vine. It's taken all the nutrients, all the moisture, and it's gone. And that's what was happening to Solomon because he had lost his spiritual strength because he had not kept his guard up. The enemy came in. Solomon reminds us that wisdom is in a person's mind and soul, brings that person life more than 10 mighty men. Now, you might say, well, what does that got to do with anything? More than 10 mighty men. The mighty men were guarding a city. Oftentimes in this time, in this age, they would have walls around the city. And they would have a castle or a citadel, as we sometimes call them, at the corners. And big cities would, some of the smaller cities might have just four corners, and they would have watchmen. And they would also have men of soldiers to protect them if someone was coming. To protect the women and the children. The men would go off to battle. But he's saying that wisdom is stronger in a person's heart and mind and soul than 10 mighty men. But think about what happened in the Bible, especially in Israel's history, when there was just a few mighty men. What was accomplished? Think about when Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, only four men, were wise and leading the Israelites and wanted to do what's right, and what great things we see our God do. Think about when there was just Joshua and Caleb and came back from spying out the land of Canaan, and they said, we can take the land, just two mighty men, and they were able to get to go in the promised land when the other 10 were not. Think about just one mighty man, Gideon, who stood up during the time of Judges and said, I'll be used by God. And he went and fought against his enemies, and they won. Think about David when he was the only one, when there were soldiers all lined up in the battle array, and the Philistines were over on the hill, other hillside, and his older brothers weren't willing to go to fight. And David says, I'll go out and fight the giant. I'm just one young mighty man. And what a victory they had. Think about, if you would, who Christ, just one mighty one, who died on the cross for us to win victory. But he's saying here that wisdom gives more strength than 10 mighty men. It's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, the Bible tells us. So what's so much more important than physical strength, spiritual strength? All across the nation today, people will say, oh, I can't go to church because that's only my day to sleep in. But all across the country today, the gymnasiums are full of people working out right now. Hotels are full of people working out right now. Working on physical strength, but no time to work on spiritual strength, spiritual wisdom. Wisdom is found in the Word of God, by His Spirit, and by His people. Do you know you get wisdom of God from other people? That's why all the time I'm encouraging you to share with one another. Call one another. Talk about spiritual matters. That's why in Sunday school I'm always encouraging you to talk and give answers to the questions. Encourage one another and strengthen one another. And your answers to the questions give wisdom to other people. Wisdom gives more strength than 10 mighty men. Number two, wisdom is not found in mankind alone. Wisdom is not found in mankind alone. Look at verses 20 to 22. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's right there with Romans 3:23. If you write in your Bible, write right beside that. Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. Agrees right along with that. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou self likewise hast cursed others. There's a lot of voices that compete for attention. Can you say, yes, I know that? Boy, there's voices. How many channels on our TVs now? Couple hundred if you buy it, competing for your attention. Flip through. Which one I want to watch tonight? Boom, 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 boom. Magazines, books, people, talk shows, all right? Agendas, special interest groups, all competing for our attentions. Each one is saying, come this way, follow this path, go this way, hear these answers, hear these solutions. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to buy. This is what will make your life fulfilled. Think about those magazines at the checkout. New solution. This will improve this part of your life. This will do this. This. Hey, what? If they didn't work, if they didn't sell, they wouldn't be in business anymore, would they? People are buying it. And they think they're getting wisdom. They think they're getting wise, but they need this the whole time. We have the answers. We have the Word of God. Ultimately, there's wisdom in God. The wisdom of God is greater than everything else. And the foolishness of the lost world is led by Satan. There's either God leading or Satan leading. That battle for correct wisdom in our lives that call for attention. Now, there's three things in these verses I want to point out. Number one, man is sinful and does not have complete wisdom. That's found in verse number 20. No man is completely just and sinneth not. No one has perfect wisdom. I don't. But I have it in the Word of God. Because we're all sinners. Number two, unwise curses may come from our fellow man. Look at verse 21 again. It's interesting how he says it. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken. That word all is very important. All words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. What's he saying there? He's saying, if you just listen to what everybody says about you, boy, it can really hurt you. It can really ruin your day. I was taught years ago by a pastor friend of mine. He said, when someone has something critical to say about you, take that and go and evaluate it and think about it and resonate over it. And if it's something true, learn from it and be thankful. But if it's something that God does not point at you that agrees with that, then just move on as it's not anything. So critical words can be important. But he's saying here, listen, if you listen to everything, you might even hear one of your servants. Now, Solomon, no doubt, had many servants, people taking care of him. And he's saying, if I go around listening to everybody, and there's some old disgruntled servant over here who's saying something bad about me and doesn't even have reason or justification saying bad about me, now listen to that, that would be very foolish. So when the world has a lot of terrible things to say about us and call us all kinds of names and saying we're backwoods and we're crazy and we're just a bunch of southern people holding on to our God and our religion, listen. Just take it with a grain of salt and say, is that right or is that wrong? And if it's wrong, move on and saying, I'm going to stick with the Word of God. I am going to cling to my Bible. I am going to cling to my old-time religion that's been passed along by my forefathers. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. And he also says, we too have often spoken foolishness or curses to our neighbor. Verse number 22. So if I'm capable of saying something stupid or foolish, unwise, unhealthy, and I think pretty good of myself, Solomon, then certainly other people can do it also. So all these voices and all these things coming at us, not everyone's going to be a wise voice. The battle for correct wisdom is not necessarily always going to come from mankind. Now, can God use mankind to give us wisdom? Sure he can, as long as it agrees with the Word of God. The old saying that you can't just trust everyone is so true. Unfortunately, you can't just trust what everyone says. But wisdom can be obtained. It's just not mankind that supplies it all. God's Word does. Number three, wisdom sought wrongly is an empty pursuit. Wisdom brings strength. Man does not have wisdom all the time. And thirdly, wisdom sought wrongly is an empty pursuit. Look at verses 23 to 25. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise. But it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. He said, here's his mistake, what Solomon said. He said, I will be wise. I will seek out wisdom. Remind you of any other passage in the Bible when you hear I will? Does it remind you of any thinking? Satan said what? I will ascend up to heaven. I will be wise. I will get glory. I will share in God's glory. I will. Well, the I wills will get you in trouble, won't they? Satan said that he would. Adam and Eve said, I will try the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. It got them in trouble. Peter said, I will walk out on the water and show all the disciples how my faith is so much greater than theirs. And then he took his eyes off the Lord and put it on himself. I will show them. Got him in trouble. I wills. I will through the power of God is much different than I will through my own strength. I will through God's wisdom is greater than I will through my wisdom. I will through godly wisdom is different than I will through earthly wisdom. Wisdom sought wrongly is an empty pursuit. In verse number 25, Solomon said that his search, that he had sought out to know what is wise, all reason. He said, I even sought those things that were wicked and folly and foolishness and madness. Solomon lived in a manner that nothing was off limits. Like we said last week, if it feels good, do it. That's the way he was. Boy, I'm going to go over here and look at this. I don't have time to pray because I got to go seek out wisdom. I don't have time to read the Word of God because I got to go seek this out. That's what got Solomon in the situation of foolishness in his life. Solomon said nothing's off limits. Good, the bad, everything. A life or time and period in life lived without any limits or boundaries is a life lived in foolishness. God gives us boundaries. God gives us, so to speak, guardrails. God gives us walls. He said, don't go this way. Don't go here. Stay on the straight and narrow. But a life that says, I'm going to cast off those old ways. I'm going to cast off those. That's what our world is going through. We talked about so much last week. Let's kick off those old traditions. Let's kick off those old ways. Let's kick off those old ways of thinking about marriage and family. Let's get rid of those. That's foolishness. A life lived with no boundaries is foolish living. Fourthly, wisdom cannot be found in sexual relationships. He says in verse 26 through 28, let's look at it again. And I found more bitter than the death of woman whose heart is a snares and net. I don't believe he's talking about physical death. I think he's talking about the spiritual death that he experienced. Find more bitter than the death of a woman whose heart is a snares and net and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but not a woman who among all those I've found, not found. Now compare this, if you would, back over the book prior in Proverbs chapter number 6. When I tell you Solomon was on track, then Solomon got off track. You'll see here, Solomon's saying, I'm pursuing after all this and these women to bring me pleasure. And in Proverbs 6, 20 to 29, look what he's warning the reader of his book, his son. He said, my son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them upon thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is the lamp, and the light, the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the ways of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. See those batting eyelids that she's flashing at him? Verse 26, for by means of the whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosoms and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So that he goeth in his own neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. He's given those instructions. And now he says, in my foolishness, I went exactly and did the opposite of what I said in the book of Proverbs, and he didn't find any satisfaction. and wisdom. What did he find? Foolishness and troubles and heartache. Oh, that our people of our generation could hear that today. How did it work out for him? He said the bitterness was like that of death. He said that he found only snares and nets and hands of bands. Think about old Samson. Samson went through the same thing. Remember how he went and he went with Delilah? And because he was infatuated with her, he gave away after her harping and beating on him and beating on him. He gave away what God had given him as strength. If you cut my hair, if you pull my head, in other words, if you shave me out, my strength will be gone. And it was his downfall. Or the finish of his downfall, I should say. Special note to all of us. God is not teaching here that only women can lead a person astray or bring trouble. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not teaching that. The Word of God is not teaching that. That it's only a woman who can lead men astray. Men can also, in the same sense, lead women astray. Why is it said from a man's perspective? Because it's a man writing. Same is true about a man leading women in the wrong directions. The conversation here is from a man's perspective. It's a truth that goes both ways. One coin, two sides. Fifthly, finally, verse 29. Wisdom, proper wisdom. To win the battle for correct wisdom, proper wisdom is only from God. Only from our all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring, all-merciful, all-wise, all-wrathful, all-perfect, all-holy God. Verse 29 as we close. Somebody said that preaching is the only profession where you can close three times before you ever close. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God made Adam and Eve in a perfect state. God made Adam and Eve with all great wisdom. Adam was so wise, he was given the job and responsibility of naming all the animals. A lot of wisdom God gave him. But sin changed everything. Seek God and be blessed with wisdom. Matthew records the words of Jesus telling us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things that you need will be added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom. That's why we seek God's wisdom. Seek God's kingdom first. When a person seeks anything or anyone other than God as first priority, foolishness will be the guide. A person can love their family and say, I love my family so much, there's not anything I wouldn't do for my family, but if they keep their family from church and from the Word of God and the knowledge of how to be saved and delivered from the sin, I don't care how many vacations you take your family on. I don't care how many sports you get your kids into. I don't care how many sports camp your kids go to so they can be the best. I don't care how many scholarships are offered academically or sports-wise, but if you haven't got them under the teaching of the Word of God, you've only brought them foolishness. A person can have a foolish, successful life. There are many inventions, schemes, and wrong plans that lead to the wrong directions. That's what he says here, but they have sought out many inventions. That's what that invention means. It means schemes. That's a word that's used in the New Testament about the devil. He has many schemes to attack the believer. Only Christ can bring us into the right relationship with God. The way of wisdom is narrow, and it leads to life. The way of foolishness, Jesus taught us, is a broad way, and it leads to death. The battle for correct wisdom. Who or what will you seek? Who or what will you seek? That you'll have the right wisdom to live wisely, or you'll have the right knowledge to live foolishly. The right knowledge of the Word of God applied will lead to righteousness and goodness. And all other paths will lead to foolishness. Well, that's never very nigh reminded of you, preacher. Well, I just like agreeing with the Bible, that's all. And I'll have to take apology for that. Foolishness is to seek anything to be a priority over God, over God's word, over relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us seek the correct wisdom of serving God. Amen.